Okay. Here?
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Thank you.
Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church. It's great to be with you on this first Sunday of Lent. We came on Ash Wednesday, this past Wednesday, and we had a gathering together to launch into the season. So now we are fully in on this first Sunday of Lent, and we're just going to walk through this journey together, and we'll meet together at Easter for a great celebration. But we got to get there. So we got to work through, put ourselves before the Lord, and allow the Lord to do a good work as we become more and more like Jesus Christ. Let's turn to our announcements this morning. We got a couple in here. SBRC is meeting tomorrow, so if you are part of that group, 7 o'clock, come on out for that. Our Lenten offering, if you remember in Advent, we did an Advent offering all throughout Advent. We're doing a Lenten offering, and we're also going to be doing, for this Lenten offering, we're going to put everything that comes in these envelopes towards the Mongolian Mission Initiative as we continue to support that ministry. And if you don't have an envelope, you can just write on your check Lenten offering, and we'll know exactly what that is for. So just wanted to make sure you're aware of that and know what's going on throughout this period as we have our mission focused on helping Mongolia. Also, the bishop is going to have a day in the district, he's calling it. It's going to be down in Mason. That's on March 7th. Everybody is invited. There's a link here. You can register for it. There's studies for the laity, and the clergy have their own session in the morning, but in the afternoon we have a session together with the bishop to kind of give us a little bit about his vision for the next several years. So it's something that's important to him. So if you want to be a part of hearing that directly from the bishop, you are welcome to join that. Jackson Area Ministries is coming. We're starting to collect those seeds and money for that. Continue to have that as part of our time through the end of March. Also, our educational assistance for graduating seniors from high school and those that are continuing in their schooling through college, getting those forms in is important so that we can make sure that we continue to support our students from this congregation. And those are due by April 16th, so pick them up. They should be out here and get those into the office. With that, let us prepare for worship this morning. And just let this prelude, you know, kind of bring you into the center of where the Lord is meeting you.
Rise, if you are able, and join me in the call to worship. The God who created us is calling us to worship.
God, we long to hear your voice.
The Christ who leads us into discipleship is beckoning us forward.
Christ, you long to follow your path.
And the Holy Spirit who empowers us is blowing us into new life.
Come, Spirit, come, inspire our worship.
Now, if you'll also join in the opening hymn, The Word is a Lamp, that's in 601 in your hymnals or on the screen. Loving God, we seek the freedom found in the grace we receive through Christ Jesus. We seek to know more fully your great love. Turn us from our temptations. Inspire us to open ourselves to the way of Christ, that as we examine our lives and live out these days, we may become examples of your abundant love for all people. May your divine spirit tend us as angels attended Jesus in the wilderness, and may we feel revived and sustained to follow Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
beautiful. With children, come up and join me, please. A book together this morning. I'm going to ask Pastor Jeff to help me. I think I'm going to, maybe we'll do it that way. I'll hold the book and he can hold the microphone so everyone can hear me. And the book is even up on the screen too so everybody can see it. Because it's important to be able to see the pictures in this book, not just the words. So here's the story. There is a wall in the middle of the book. Do you see the wall? No? And it's a good thing. You see what's going on both sides of the wall? What do you see? Yeah. The wall protects this side of the book. You see what's going on both sides of the book, of the wall? From the other side of the book. So the wall protects one side from the other side, right? This side of the book is safe. The other side is not. But the most dangerous thing on the other side of the book is the ogre. Would you be scared of an ogre? If the ogre ever caught me, he'd eat me up. No. That's why I'm glad there's a wall in the middle of the book and that I'm on the other side of it. Do you see what's going on both sides? Wait a second. What's going on? The water's coming up, isn't it? Yeah. This is not supposed to happen on this side of the wall. What's going on? What do you see? He's going in the water. What's going on the other side? Okay. Yeah, he's stepping up to reach over the wall. Wow. Thank you so much. What happened? He took him out of the water, didn't he? Oh, no. I'm on the other side of the book. And you're the ogre who's going to eat me up. Which side is safer at this point? Do we know? Ha, ha, ha. I'm actually a nice ogre. And this side of the book is fantastic. What's going on the other side? And the little fishies are getting eaten by the bigger fish, and the bigger fish is getting eaten by a bigger fish. Come on, I'll show you around. And he's thinking about it, right? Does he want to go? He's not sure. Hey, Orger. Wait for me. What are they doing now?
They're playing.
Are they playing? It kind of looks like a T-Rex, isn't it? I think it's a rhinoceros. It's a rhinoceros. So which side of the book is actually safer? The one with the animals. So was it what he thought it was going to be? How is this like our lives? Do we sometimes fear things that we think could happen? Even if they really aren't true? So what does this tell us about our fears sometimes? That sometimes we shouldn't believe them? Which side of the book? Why would we stay on the other side of the book? To stay away from the ogre, but are we more comfortable on that side of the book? Yep, sometimes we think we're more comfortable. We had a
until
we're not. We had a conversation in our adult class this morning about this book. And we even talked about how sometimes we like to even stay on our side of the church because we're more comfortable there. And sometimes, what would have happened if he hadn't gone to the other side of the book? He would have what? He would have gotten eaten on that side. What would he have missed out on? Play. He would have missed out on some fun times, right? And getting to know the animals and the ogre. So I think we can remember that sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zones so that we can find out what might actually be on the other side of the wall. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for being our comfort, even when we're not in our comfort zones. Thank you for helping us overcome fears and encourage us to go to the other side of the wall and discover what we might miss out on otherwise. Encourage us this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, if you'll join me in the prayer hymn, which is number 582. I can't read it now without the light. 582. Thank you. Whom shall I send?
Just so we're clear, everyone is called, not just the pastor. We all are called. Let's go before our Lord and see what He has for us today. Amazing and merciful God, we come to You as the body of Christ who have been called into Your service. Lord, that seems daunting to many of us, including myself. So, Lord, we just come before You and we bring ourselves to You and asking for Your encouragement. Speak directly to our hearts and open our minds to what that may be. Sure, there's going to be things that are going to make us uncomfortable. There are going to be things that we even are fearful of. But, Lord, You say You are there with us. Not only there, present with us, but You are there to guide us, strengthen us, give us wisdom. Lord, You are always there in so many ways. So give us that encouragement today, O God, to be the ones who are looking and listening for You, to show us where we are to be. If it's this side of the wall or that side of the wall, we will only know as we listen to You. So open us, O God, as we walk into this season of Lent, to be able to put ourselves before You and be molded by You, to be able to see and hear what You see and what You are calling us to see. So, Lord, in this season of examine us. We give You permission. Show us who we are, and more importantly, show us how we are in Your hands. That You are the one who loves us more than anything. And we can trust You. So when we do hear Your voice and we do understand that we are called to be wherever that may be, that we are able to say, send me. We put this before You in this season, O God. We know You're walking with us. So may we walk with You. Now let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we come to our time of offering. And I just wanted to share just a minute. In the Scriptures, there are speaking about kinds of offerings. There are tithes and there are offerings. Our tithes are what we bring in response to our relationship with God. We bring a piece of what we've been given, knowing that God gives us everything. So we bring a portion of that. The offerings are those things that are either for the works, the operation of the ministries, or to the poor and the people that are behind the ministries. So we have our tithes and offerings time. We don't call it tithes and offerings here. We call it an offering. But it includes all of that because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Thank you. please join together in the prayer of dedication. We offer ourselves to you, Lord Jesus, emptying ourselves to become your vessels of love and grace and hope to all we encounter. May the gift of our lives, the gifts of our service, and these gifts we bring today help build your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
Be reading from Matthew 6, 1 through 6, and 16 through 21. Be careful that you don't practice your religion in front of people to draw their attention. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Whenever you give to the poor, don't blow your trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may get praise from people. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you may give to the poor in secret. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't be like hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people will see them. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. And when you fast, don't put on a sad face like the hypocrites. They distort their faces so people will know they are fasting. I assure you that they have their reward. When you fast, brush your hair and wash your face. Then you won't look like you are fasting to people, but only to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Stop collecting treasures for your own benefit on earth, where moth and rust eat them and where thieves break in and steal them. Instead, collect your treasures for yourself in heaven, where moth and rust don't eat them and where thieves don't break in and steal them. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
anymore. Well, we are a few days into the Lenten season. And as Suzanne mentioned last week, if you're here, she was preaching. We are launching a sermon series today titled Removing Barriers to Engagement. The series is inspired by the Fear Plus Less Dialogues Initiative that was generated from their studies on how fear creates barriers that lead to social implications personally, relationally, and throughout all of society. These barriers keep us from addressing big things like race, ethnic cultural differences, and socioeconomic challenges. And smaller things like candid conversations, home or workplace confrontations, and community engagement. Fear Plus Less Dialogues focuses not on removing fear, because fear is a natural response that we are supposed to address appropriately. Their hope is that through their initiative, they can inspire people to address their fears, to fear a little less, so we can discern how to move forward through our fears and improve our ability to connect and relate with others well. 2 years ago, a few of us from here at Faith Community went to the Fear Plus Less training, which highlighted 5 primary fears, which we will review over the next 5 weeks in this series. We So also, we're given the materials to provide the 6-week small group study that Suzanne is leading during Lent that meets in Fellowship Hall 15C. The more we discuss the church's desire to reach out to our community as well as reaching into our congregation to encourage deeper relationships, this material, well, it seemed more and more relevant. Having less fear opens the door to authentic engagement. And that's where we begin with this Removing Barriers to Engagement series today by addressing hypocrisy. How do we nurture an authentic relationship with God and our community? Jesus opened up our text by cautioning the religious faithful to not practice your religion in front of people to draw their attention. Then goes on to reference 3 religious practices, telling them to not be like hypocrites. The Greek word from which we derive hypocrite is hypokrites, which was used to describe a performer with a mask. Religious practices are not performances for the public's information, demonstration, or condemnation. They are a means of formation. There are personal practices and there are corporate practices like we're doing right now, both of which are intended to form us in the character and the ways of the Lord our God. And specifically for us, form us in the likeness of Christ, who is also the one who makes us right with God through His righteousness while transforming us through the Holy Spirit as we present ourselves before Him authentically. See, authenticity calls for us to remove our masks. This is why Lent starts with Ash Wednesday, to remind us we came from dust and we will return to dust. We may be amazing creatures, but we still are creatures. Without our Creator and our relationship with God, we suffer along with all of humanity from the same identity flaw, the same mask of thinking we are God of our own universe. We are not God to any stretch of our imaginations. We only have life through God's grace. And it is by God's saving grace in Jesus Christ that we are able to live an authentic life that leads to eternal life through Jesus Christ. Our masks are devices of deception to ourselves and to the world. In my own interpretation, Jesus says something like this: remove your masks. Humble yourselves before me and one another to be your authentic self. And allow me to help you discover and live into you, the you beneath the mask that is made in my image. This is the invitation of Lent. And the invitation to a life of discipleship in our faith in Jesus Christ. So let's tear down these barriers of hypocrisy that keep us from engaging with God and our community within and outside these walls, beginning with how we engage with the foundational practices of our faith: giving, prayer, fasting, and kingdom building. First, Jesus taught regarding giving. He says, when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you may give to the poor in secret. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. Now, in Jesus' day, giving to the poor was quite public, at least when it came to depositing coins in the temple treasury box designated for the poor. The box was out in the open, and it was constructed such that the coins were dropped. When they were dropped, one could hear the offering being made. And by the noise, one could discern possibly the general size of the gift. Think about that. Gifts were given to show one's commitment to the Lord to the public. Jesus called into question their intentions and their motivations. Why did they give, and what did they expect from their gift? Was it from a concern for the poor? Or from a desire of approval or admiration or acceptance? Was there an expectation of blessing or social advancement? These questions are good for us to consider in our own giving practices. Even though in many ways our giving today has become super secret and protected from others so that we can't be judged by the public. We are more afraid of being found out for the lack of giving than we are in promoting that we are committed to giving like those dropping their coins in the temple treasury. Jesus' concern isn't about the amount of our giving. The caution is to be aware of our wrestling with ourselves, our temptations, and our own desires. So when Jesus says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, it is similar to an adage today of wringing your hands. It is a way of saying, don't fret over our gifts. Giving isn't supposed to be stressful, but it is to be generous. It also isn't anyone else's concern as to what we give other than the Lord's. Jesus knows the need, and Jesus knows our needs. It isn't solely our decision, though, especially when we consider all we have comes from God. To nurture an authentic relationship with God and our community, we give discreetly and freely as the Holy Spirit leads. We are discreet so as not to boast. Our discreetness won't protect us, however, from shame, as the Holy Spirit will convict us if our gift is somehow shrouded by our masks. And we give freely to release us from any expectations of return or control. It is only a gift when it is freely given. Can you see how giving in this way removes barriers to our engagement with God and our community, and develops bonds of trust? Now, removing our mask is not easy. But it becomes easier when we start with bringing our whole selves, the good and the bad, before our Lord in our prayer life. Jesus encouraged, when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. Now, praying can be done in public. However, it isn't for the public. The public is not who we are speaking with, is it? The questions of concern are, can we be fully present with the Lord wherever we are? And can we listen? Can we listen to God? Prayer isn't as much what can God do for us as it is what can God do within us. Authentic relationships with God and our community are nurtured when we pray to be present with God's presence for God's purposes. Psalm 139 is a beautiful and revealing psalm of God's intimate love, knowledge, and care for each and every person. The psalmist proclaims, "There isn't a word on my tongue, O Lord, that you don't already know completely. You surround me front and back. You put your hand on me." See, our prayers aren't for God to hear. God already knows what we have to say. Prayer is a means to awaken us to God's presence and to be present with the Lord. We do that by sharing what is on our minds and in our hearts. You have to remember, God knows everything about us. Everything. Jesus encourages us to be authentically present, no masks, when we spend time with the Lord in prayer. It is within our prayer life that Jesus can help us discard the masks that we hold and have for good. If we bring them into the conversations with the Lord. Again, nothing is hidden from the Lord. But we are capable of hiding from ourselves and others when we don't address our fears that form the masks that we put on with Jesus. Also, as the psalmist reveals, the Lord's hand is on us, guiding us as only the Lord can to fulfill God's purposes in us and through us. We are to be participants in God's good works, not just occupants of the world in need of God's goodness. Transformation of the world, as part of the United Methodist Church's mission statement, is attained one person at a time as we each present ourselves authentically to the Lord for transformation. As Paul shared with the Ephesians, "For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared for us to do." Prayer isn't for our purposes, but rather for God's purposes to be accomplished in and through us. Our understanding of what prayer is and our motivations and intentions for praying impacts how we pray, and how prayer forms us and our relationships with God and with our community. Next, Jesus spoke of fasting. Fasting goes hand in hand with prayer. Fasting, from a faith perspective, is a means to be more aware of God's presence. Jesus taught, When you fast, brush your hair and wash your face, then you won't look like you're fasting to people, but only to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So like prayer, fasting is about being with God's presence for God's purposes. Fasting from food is the most common form of fasting because it is most directly associated with God's provision and sustaining character. But in general, we turn to many different things that offer us security in some way. So during Lent, giving up certain things that give us comfort highlights what lies beneath our need for being comforted. So whether we give up meals, TV, social media, sweets, or something else, it isn't fasting unless we consider our dependence on these things while we seek the Lord for comfort and awareness of any fear that needs addressed. The Lord wants to meet us where we are, to awaken us to our misplaced dependencies. To nurture an authenticity with God in our community, we fast to instill in our hearts our dependence on God. Fasting is like a reset or a realignment of our dependence on God. Comfort food and other forms of escapism don't address our insecurities. They are means to cover them up. Aligning our dependence on God for all aspects of our life deepens our connection with the Lord and leads to transformation as our masks come down. Finally, Jesus addressed what could be considered the elephant in the room, our treasures. He said, stop collecting treasures for your own benefit on earth. Instead, collect treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust don't eat them and where thieves don't break in and steal them. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when I mentioned earlier the foundational practices of our faith that Jesus addressed in this passage were giving, praying, faith, and kingdom building, how many of you were struck by my reference to kingdom building? It doesn't say that in the text, does it? But that's how I saw it when I was studying this passage this week. As a Christian, we are banking on the inheritance we have in Christ of eternal life with God. The question is, does our life demonstrate our commitment to establishing, as we pray all the time, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? God's kingdom isn't about material things. It is about relationships with God and community. God isn't against having material things, but the Lord does care how we attain them, use them, and whatever treasures we have and kingdom we are building, we must realize it isn't solely ours for our purposes. As a child of God and follower of Christ, all we have is a resource for building God's kingdom. It may be easy for us to agree with this statement, but what would it look like for us to demonstrate our commitment to the Lord's purposes of building authentic relationships with the Lord and our community using our resources? To nurture authentic relationships with God and our community, we invest in God's kingdom. Jesus didn't mention hypocrisy specifically when speaking of our treasures, but I think it's worth asking ourselves in the presence of God, as we're going through this process of Lent this season, ask, are we walking the walk? Or are we acting the part when others are watching? Authenticity matters. People we encounter, especially when we are known to be Christian, or specifically representing faith community, they can sense if we are real or not. They can sense our fears of engaging with them. Authenticity matters when we aspire to be a safe space for exploring faith and building community. Where we say a safe space is an inviting space where you feel welcomed, accepted, heard, seen, and secure. Isn't this the environment we all want to thrive in? If so, let's do the work to become more authentic in our relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to be transformed in the likeness of Christ, to be a safe space for anyone we meet. Participate in the many faith practices to be you. God created you to be. And through these practices, we can remove our masks. So, as Jesus encouraged, give discreetly and freely. Pray to be present with God's presence for God's purposes. Fast to instill in our hearts our dependence on God and invest in God's kingdom as we go. Authentic faith practice is rewarded with an everlasting relationship with God and community. Amen.
And now again, if you are able, rise and let us sing Wonderful Words of Life, number 600 in our hymnals.
Before I give our benediction, I forgot to mention, for all to know, Flo Harner had passed away earlier this week. In case you have not heard, I wanted to make sure our family here at the church knew. So there will be details coming later, but right now I just wanted you to know. So now as we go into the world, let's be authentic. Let's take off our masks and be who we are created to be. There's nothing to hide because we're all in this together. And the more we understand that and live that, others will be more likely to join us. Let's go in peace, knowing that we are loved. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.